This is Fresh Air. My guest, Charlie Sifford, was the first black admitted into the PGA, the Professional Golfers Association. And he was the first black man to play on the PGA Tour. To get into the PGA, he had to challenge the Caucasian Clause that remained in the association's constitution until 1961. It stated, professional golfers of the Caucasian race, over the age of 18, shall be eligible for membership. During Sifford's career, he's won over $1 million in official prize money. Now at the age of 69, he plays on the senior PGA Tour. But in his new memoir, Just Let Me Play, Sifford says there is still no place for a black man in professional golf. He has often been called the Jackie Robinson of golf, but he doesn't like the comparison.
No, I don't think it works. I think Jackie Robinson did a better job than I did. I mean, we have hundreds and hundreds of black professional baseball players that are making millions and millions of dollars. And I only have four or five blacks playing golf, so I don't think I did a good job at Jackie Robinson. Maybe I did a good job at Jackie Robinson, but I wasn't as successful as Jackie Robinson was for what I've done.
Your introduction to golf was as a caddy at a country club in North Carolina. It is a country club that blacks were not allowed to be members of. Blacks were not allowed to actually play on the course. So how did you actually learn to play on a whites-only course when you were a caddy?
I guess it's just a gift from God, you know, because I used to get out and I'm from a very, very poor family. I had my father and mother, they had six kids, and my father was a laborer. And when I'd get out of school in the afternoon, I would go to the golf course, and I just picked the game up. And when I was 13 years old, I could shoot 70, even par, 71, one over par, and it's something like that. It stuck a liking to the game.
Would you have to sneak onto the course to play, or would they let you play as a caddy even though the course was officially closed to blacks?
Well, we had a day we called Caddy Day Monday. But sometime I would slip out on the golf course, and that's why the gentleman that owned it, Sutton Alexander, very nice man, and God bless him, he passed, and he used to take me out and we play, you know, but after all the members of the golf course got the talking about it, so he asked my mother and father if they would let me go somewhere where I could play golf, and that was to Philadelphia. I had an uncle up there, and I went to Philadelphia in 1939.
Because there was a public course nearby that you could play on.
Right, it's still there.
Now, you became Billy Eckstein's golf teacher, valet, and partner on the course.
Mm-hmm.
So you traveled with the band?
Oh, yeah.
That must have been fun.
I was in charge of the musicians, and I was in charge of taking his clothes to the theater, and when I'd take his clothes to the theater, I would head for the golf course, wherever I could find one, and do my little thing.
So, now, Eckstein played golf, and you say that you used to hustle with Eckstein. What were your hustles like?
I taught him how to play golf. We used to go to these different cities, you know, and you know how some of the guys are. You see Billy Eckstein making all this money, so they try to sneak out to the golf course and rob him. So we were prepared for that. We used to go in different places, you understand, and the guys used to call him up to come play. So he said, okay, but I had to bring my my chauffeur with me. You know, I was the chauffeur and the pro, too. So we used to go out, and if I see that the guys couldn't beat him, you understand, I'd be playing turkey. I'd be hitting my ball all out through the woods and anywhere until things get real tough, then I would come in, you know. So one match I played, this guy, you understand, he told me, after we got through playing, he said, what's your name? So I said, my name is Charlie Clifford. This guy said, man, if I didn't know your name was Charlie Clifford, I swear you was Charlie Sifford.
What's the most money you won in one of these hustles?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to tell that. But I've won. I made a decent living plan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a decent living plan.
Were the people who you hustled usually black or white?
Anything come along. Didn't pick them.
Now, you say that being the first black on the PGA Tour was one of the most frightening and dangerous things you ever faced. What was dangerous about it?
Well, could you imagine a black man going to North Carolina to play in a PGA-sponsored golf tournament with all white players and one black, the first time it ever happened. That's enough to be afraid of. And
were you threatened?
Oh, well, I wasn't going to go. I called my wife, and she's responsible for everything that's happened to me in golf. Because I asked her, what about going to Greensboro? So she said, go ahead on down there. They're not going to bother you. So there I went.
So were you threatened?
Oh, yes. After the first round of the tournament, I shot 68 and led the tournament the first day. And as I went back to these friends' house I was living in, it wasn't in the hotels, and the phone rang, and they asked to speak to Charlie Sifford, so I answered the phone, so this guy said, you a Charlie Sifford? So I said, yeah. So he said, you better not bring your back to the golf course tomorrow. So I told him, I said, well, I tee off at 9:40, and whatever you're going to do, you better get ready to do it because I'll be there. So I went out, teed off, and about 10 or 12 guys started on number one, and it took them to the 14th hole before they could arrest them all.
What were they doing?
Hollering, yelling, calling me names. Didn't hit me, which thank God they didn't. Though I'm sure I wouldn't. You know, may not have been here today as a successful black professional. Well, that's why I said that Jack Robinson, you understand, he's in a different category to me than he was in a ballpark. See, I'm out between those ropes and touchable. You know, anything could happen, you know. But in the ballpark, he's more safer than I were.
Of course, he had a lot of things thrown at him, didn't he?
He had eight guys with him anyway, you know. And I'm nobody but me and 14 golf clubs.
Well, how did you golf that day? You know, there's such a hush that falls over the crowd when somebody is taking their swing, and here you had all these hostile people out to get you who were hollering and insulting you as you were playing. Did you play well that day?
I think I shot 73 that day.
What was par?
71. I played well behind that because, you know, I had made up my mind I was going to go through with it anyway, you know, as long as someone didn't hit me, you know. So, you know, ain't nothing they can do to turn me around, you know, to break my concentration and break my determination because I had started and I wasn't going to quit.
My guest is Charlie Sifford. His new memoir is about how he broke the color barrier in professional golf. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Charlie Sifford. He was the first black man in the PGA and the first black to play on the PGA Tour. So when you started on the PGA Tour, even though they had let you in, were there still tournaments were there still events that you were barred from, or were you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there were?
Oh, sure.
How would that work?
After I got through playing in Greensboro, North Carolina, I got in my car that Sunday night, and I drove all the way to Houston, Texas, where they used to have the Houston Open. And when I got there Wednesday morning to sign up to get in the tournament, I was ran away, told me I couldn't play. And there was a guy that headed the PGA then by the name of Joe Black. So I went to him and asked him what was the reason. I had my approved player's card. Why couldn't I play? So he said, well, there's nothing we could do about it because it's 1962, you know, that Houston wasn't segregated then. You know, everything didn't come down to 64, you know.
How much would you fight when you were turned away, and how much did you feel like you should be you know, the gentleman and be polite because it might hurt your reputation in the PGA if you became too militant?
Well, I wasn't going to be militant because I knew that's just what they wanted me to be, you know. So I just got in my car and drove on down the highway and got me a towel and just cried and got it off my shoulder and just kept on making me want to play more, you know. And I think when they turned me away in Houston, I think if they had let me play in Houston, I may not never play golf because that really made me mad, you know. And I really wanted to play after they turned me away, after I had to prove player's card in my pocket. But
now, what would happen when you would play in a tournament on a course or in a club that barred blacks? Were you allowed in the clubhouse? Were you allowed in the locker room?
At the first beginning, I wasn't allowed in the club, and I wasn't allowed in the I had to go in the locker room to eat. I couldn't eat with them.
When did that start changing?
Oh, it started after 64, 65.
Mm-hmm. How much golf are you playing now?
Oh, I play golf just about every week. I'm playing on the senior tour now. Super seniors. I'm a super senior.
That's one of the really great things about golf, isn't it, that you don't have to give it up?
That's right. You can play till you get 100. Because if you take care of yourself like me, see, I take care of myself. I exercise, train, stay away from the ladies.
Do you feel that you still face discrimination?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I believe that there's, now don't get me wrong, I'm not prejudiced. There's some white people in this country will never accept a black man as a golfer. That's true.
Now, why do you think that is? What is it about golf that has been so resistant?
I don't know. That's what the first, when I was 13 years old and had to leave North Carolina to come to Pennsylvania to play golf, I always wondered why that they didn't want a black man to play golf. I've proved everything. I proved to the world that a black man could play golf and be a gentleman. They never seen me out on the tour with three or four different women. They've never seen me with no women. I've never been with any. They've never saw me bothering any of their wives. So I don't know what they're afraid of. And we outnumbered anyway. If they had 20 blacks out there, well, hell, you got 4,500 whites. So, I mean, you know, well, what is it? We don't have any tails. I just don't understand it.
I guess it has something to do with how golf was always a part of this country club system. You know, that...
You know, you might have a point there. I think you do have a point there. But, you know, the country club thing, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. They open up every country club in the country. The average black guy can't afford it anyway. How many black people you think can pay $50,000 a year to be a member of the golf course? Hell, the average black person don't make $50,000 a year. You know, so how can he afford that? So they're stupid for saying it. You know, they don't want them. They ought to open it up and there wouldn't be nothing to it. They say, yeah, anybody got the bread, come on. You know, and hell, you wouldn't get that many. And the ones you get didn't know how to conduct themselves.
So what's your next big game?
Oh, I'm going to Charlotte, North Carolina, my hometown, to play next week.
Oh, you're not going to be on the course where you got started, are you?
No. No, we built another golf course. I wasn't allowed there either. But that don't bother me anymore. I just go out there and take off my shoes, go in the locker room, do just like the rest of them do, and better not be stopped. They don't. They know who I am, and they know... I might fight back now. Before, I wouldn't fight back because I had to prove a point. But the point is proven now, and I'm proud of my book. And I know that some of the kids that read this book that want to gonna get interested in golf. And after next year, I want to see if I can get me a program started, that if I can get a grant from someone to, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I would just like to go around the country and these high schools and colleges, you know, and introduce this game to the kids. I know we have some golfers out there. We just have to find them.
Well, I wish you good luck.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. Thanks for talking to you.
Charlie Sifford's memoir is called Just Let Me Play, the story of the first black PGA golfer. We recorded our interview in the spring.